Hello, and welcome back to From Out of the City. This is William F. DeVault, once upon a time dubbed the romantic poet of the internet by Yahoo. That was about 10 years ago, 11 years ago. But I'm still here, and I'm still alive, and I'm still writing, and I'm still talking. It's July 1st, the beginning of the second half of the year, 2007. Not a bad year. Not the best, not the worst, but the time is what you make of it, and that's a lesson you learn. If you listen very carefully behind me, you can hear the plaintive mewing of a cat. That's the kitten Ariel, who is an extremely vocal orange tabby who has decided that she wants to be a poet when she grows up. I wouldn't necessarily discourage her, but I would remind her there's not a lot of money in it. Recently, I made it known that I'm talking with the people from the Guinness World Records about doing a reading designed to take a world record or establish a world record for the longest continuous reading by a poet or author from their works. Some have praised it, some have condemned it. I praise and condemn it. It's obviously a publicity stunt. It doesn't really advance the poetic arts, the poetic faith. But nowadays, what really does? I mean, we are in a world where poetry is consigned to slams and open mics, and if you've ever been to a slam or an open mic, you know what I'm talking about. Even in the best of venues, what you are more likely to see are individuals just needing some time to express themselves, or young actors trying to get some attention, or malcontents wanting someone to listen to them. But if you actually take the works being presented and put them on the page and ask, is this poetry, you'll get varied opinions. And I'll be one of those varied opinions. I often get sent poetry by poets saying, could you read my work and tell me what you think? And I try to be charitable because I don't claim to have all the answers as to what is and isn't poetry. And I think anybody who sets themselves up as the guardian of that gate is in for a long and difficult road. I have my opinions. And poetry is a lot like being in love. I know it when I encounter it, although perhaps not much recently. But it's something that needs to be looked at. The world changes. I originally conceived today's show as sort of a State of the Union address for poetry, and then I decided that's incredibly arrogant to hold myself up as somebody in a position to be giving a State of the Union address. I'll leave that to some college professor who vanity publishes his work through the university press system of his college. People are fond of setting themselves up as judges and critics of others. I was involved a great deal in the online poetry salons of a decade or so ago until they started turning into critique sessions. I remember vividly when I was running the romantic and erotic poetry group for America Online's Writers Club, which was a wonderful, glorious time with my sidekick, Hui, and we would allow people to come on and read their romantic and erotic poetry. We'd even gotten a waiver from terms of service, so anything could be touched. And all the time we ran the show, we only censored one piece, a 13-year-old girl who wanted to read an incredibly evocative work that would have encouraged every pervert in the world to look her up. And we just felt it wouldn't go. But I remember back then, someone I knew who had written one poem and gotten it published in a local newspaper, who came to one of our standing room only chats, and someone had just done a read, and it was normal at the end of a read to say, okay, Does anybody wish to say anything? And at that point, it was really opening the floor to applause, the individual saying, well, I liked it. Or if nobody liked it, nobody said anything. Well, this one person steps in and immediately starts critiquing the poem. Now, I'm not saying that the poem was perfect. It wasn't. It wasn't one of mine, so I had no personal stake in it. But this person started explaining what this person was doing wrong and how they could make it better. I'm sorry. Aside from some classroom exercise designed to get people involved, poetry is not a collaborative art, except the collaboration between the muse and the poet. When you start changing your work because someone else tells you it would look better, sound better, feel better, taste better, smell better, because if you did it this way, it's not poetry anymore. It's committee work. And as the old saying goes, for God so loved the world, he didn't send a committee. Poetry is intimate. It is your vision, your view, your world, your concept. It is your snapshot. I don't take photographs, send them to my father and say, hey, Dad, what would make this better? And Dad send them back photoshopped with people put in or taken out or the lighting changed and still claim for it to be a photograph. It's not. Any poem that gets altered because somebody besides the creator of it has a different vision of it is a bastardization of poetry. And I'll argue that with anyone who wishes to. Now, yes, you may have a situation where you decide to collaborate with another individual. I've done that. And sometimes the results have been very interesting, and sometimes the results have been interesting but not on the page in other ways, because there's a certain intimacy that arises from the synergy of the arts that can lead to a synergy in real life that can be most inspiring. So you say, hey, where's the poetry tonight? You're right. I owe you some poetry. I'm only going to do one poem tonight. It's designed to get you to go, what? Not that long ago, I was talking to a friend, a female friend, and she made some joke about she needed something, but she didn't know what. And I said, well, tell me what it is, and I'll bring it. And she said, well, vodka and condoms. I'm like, okay. But the phrase stuck in my head. And she's a writer, and I said, you should write a poem called that. She hasn't gotten around to it yet. So in a moment of inspiration a few days later, this kicked out. And I liked it. I liked it enough to have EJ add it to his blog and to read it for you tonight. So without further ado, here is the poem, Vodka and Condoms. Bring vodka and condoms, she said. I heard her say it in a sotto voce whisper, rough with fear and hunger, like a cat in heat in a cage, wanting something she couldn't ask for in simpler terms, because the words had sharp edges. Nothing more than someone to tell her what is expected of her between the courses of life, when she wants to be wanted, as we all do, under the influence of vodka and condoms. Those of you who know me know that that isn't much a reflection of my personality. I have a very strict code about getting involved, shall we say, with any woman under the influence. For what it's worth, it basically boils down to this. If she's under the influence, it's rape. And I don't hold much affection for people who rape. So, but it was just an interesting turn of phrase. And let's face it, there's a lot of sexual activity in this world, a lot of perceived romance that takes place under the influence of a couple glasses of wine or half a bottle of vodka. Such is life, such is the world we are born into, and such are the standards that we pretend to. My nephew left for Iraq yesterday. He's a soldier. He joined up about a year ago. This is his first deployment. He's a young man, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, convinced that what he's doing is right. Those of you who know me know that I'm just as convinced that what he's doing is wrong, but I respect the fact that he's seeking to serve, and he's seeking to serve in a manner that is at least not dishonorable, although don't take that wrong. Don't think I'm insulting every man and woman who picks up the uniform. I am anti-war. I'm anti-all war, not just this war. I understand the pragmatism that leads to war. I understand the necessity in an agenda of national survival that leads to violence. It's just not my agenda. I'm a poet, I'm a Christian, and within those spheres I have a value system that is perhaps inexplicable to a lot of people. I don't believe in violence. I believe it exists. Like people say, I don't believe in the devil. Oh yeah, well, he believes in you. No, I believe that there is violence out there, and I believe that it occurs, and I believe that there's a lot of justification for it. I just don't accept the notion that it is a good thing. But I wish him well, and he will be in my prayers, and I hope he comes back to his mother safe and sound and unharmed and able to get on with his life. So anyway, that's it for this week. Please join me next week when I'll pile on the poetry. The band and I are working on some new material, which I think you'll find entertaining. But until then, this is William F. DeVault. Please drop by the website sometime, www.cityoflegends.com, or by the blog at cityoflegends.blogspot.com. And have a most excellent week. Thank you. God bless.